Spitten watermelon seeds. It's a sound that defined summer. No more. At the grocery store, at the farmer's market, even at the roadside fruit stand, it's tough to even find a watermelon with seeds these days. Toss in grapes, oranges, and you've got a whole fruit salad of seedless wonders. That got us wondering what we're missing. It's Science Out of the Box. Meet Tracy Kahn. She's a plant scientist at the University of California, Riverside, and she's curator of the school's citrus variety collection. Welcome to the show, Tracy Kahn.
Thank you.
So how do you make a seedless fruit?
There are some that are just naturally seedless, or you can actually do things scientifically to encourage them to be seedless.
Do you just graft it over and over again or something?
Well, in the case of citrus, you actually, all commercial citrus trees, they take a bud out of a branch next to a leaf, and they put it on a seedling rootstock. They make a cut into the bark of a seedling rootstock, and they insert that bud, and then that bud that you took from the type that you want to eat, the variety that you want to propagate, becomes the new top of that tree, and then that's a commercial tree which has two different types sandwiched together with the top part being the type that we're interested in growing and the bottom part being the rootstock, which is, confers all sorts of protection mechanisms to that part of the tree.
Okay. I understand now that you can, there are these genetic variations. You look for a genetic variation that happens to produce seedless fruit. You propagate that with grafts, say, onto another plant. What about seedless seeds? In other words, you can buy watermelon seeds that produce seedless watermelons.
Okay, so, you know, we have chromosomes in us. We have two copies, one that came from one parent, one that came from the other.
Right.
And that's true with most plants as well. Most plants have two copies of the chromosomes, and when the plants go to make either pollen that carries the sperm cell or ovules that carry the egg cell, the chromosome number goes to half, and then when the sperm and the egg come together again, it goes back to two copies again.
Just like us.
Just like us.
So plant sex.
Plant sex. And in fact, those watermelons that you're talking about, in that case, what they did is they took, first of all, they started out with a watermelon plant that had two copies of the chromosomes. They treated it with a chemical that caused the chromosome number to double to four copies, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then that became one of the parents. And then so you had, you crossed a watermelon that had four copies of the chromosomes with one that had two copies of the chromosomes, and what you end up with is plants that have three copies of the chromosomes.
So it's
triploid.
It's the watermelon version of a mule.
It's the watermelon version of a mule.
It can't reproduce, but it exists.
It can't reproduce. But in fact, in order to, so when you go out and you buy watermelon seed, you would buy seed that are, have three copies of the chromosome, but you would also need to buy, and it would usually be included with it, some that produce the normal two copies, because in fact, watermelons need to be cross-pollinated in order for that fruit to develop.
A few years ago, I think I would have never believed there would be a seedless watermelon. I mean, my God, watermelon seeds are like iconic.
But we really don't like seeds. And in fact, we've even among researchers and growers, we've had discussions, would it be valuable to have a seedless lemon? Given what you do with lemons, you know, use them in drinks and you use them for cooking.
Go for the seedless lemon. A lot easier to squeeze into my tacos.
That's true. Yeah, you have to sort of dig them out if you're squeezing them into the tacos.
Tracy Kahn is the curator of UC Riverside's Citrus Variety Collection. Thanks so much for speaking to us.
Okay, thank you so much.
It's really interesting.
Thank you.